Hi, I'm Austin.
I'm Josh.
I'm Justin.
Have you guys seen American Psycho? Supposed to be a treat.
I'm very excited. I know enough of this movie to be excited.
You heard of this movie.
Yeah, like, this is the movie with the business card scene. I know it's some... That's all I know. Kind of, I know it's like a thriller horror type thing in an office setting, but I don't...
Exo-gloss finishes.
Don't just look at it, Josh. Talk about it! Yeah, it's gonna be awesome. So what do you think it's gonna be?
The actors and stuff? No, I have no idea.
No.
You don't know who's in it or anything?
No.
Okay.
No, I said, do you know who Huey Lewis is?
Huey Lewis? Oh.
No,
oh, you'll know by the end of the movie.
You mean And the News?
Yes, the band. You're a music guy.
Yeah.
Can you name me Huey Lewis in the News songs?
Not off the top of my head, but if you named them, I'd probably heard them.
The Back to the Future soundtrack.
Okay.
Hip to be Square.
Really? Okay. Well.
I Need a New Drug.
Right.
That's a handful.
That's my spoiler.
We'll run into some in this. What do you think it's going to be about, named American Psycho?
Yeah, so I know it's some kind of, like, horror threat, right? So I guess it's like, you know, some guy goes postal. Like, he gets fed up with being a business, and I guess just starts fucking killing people. But it's weird that it would be office, because usually office can, like, you know, skyscrapers, it's part of a bigger bill.
Right.
And so, like, how can this take place during the day?
Wouldn't so going postal would be, like, that's a term from, like, postal workers, right?
Well, it started there because the first person to really do, like, a massacre at their job was a postal worker.
Right.
And it became famous because the high-stress postal workers are constantly under.
But this would be, like, a stock crash because he's, like, a CEO. Like,
I don't know what kind of...
Have you ever seen Falling Down, Justin?
Falling Down, no.
Really? Wow. That is, like, a TNT Saturday classic.
I have no
idea
what it is.
It's Michael Douglas... And it's a going postal movie.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it holds up nearly as well as this one, but that's more of your, like, suburbanite going postal. You're right, this is pretty bougie. We're in a big city, we're in big buildings. A lot of big money moving around in this movie. So why are you excited? Like, what have you heard that gets you pumped for it?
I just like horror thriller movies, and this is, like, one of the ones that it's been forever. Everyone talks about it to this day. And I've been meaning to see it. It's kind of been one of the ones on my bucket, so I've just never gotten around to watching.
Ooh, soon we're going to have to make a list that's movies we haven't seen that we want to see, like, big ones.
The reverse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got a few that I haven't seen. Like,
have you wanted to see?
I've never seen The Goonies.
What? No.
Yeah.
That's, really?
Wow.
Yeah. I've seen The Goonies.
As an 80s kid, never seen it all the way through.
I don't know that it holds. Because I've seen The Goonies, like, 5 years ago. And I don't... I saw it with Justin, actually. It
yeah.
Does.
Oh, okay.
I watched it with my dad.
I don't know if it holds up. It's a feel-good 80s movie, right?
You don't want to feel good?
It's fine. I remember it being fine.
No, Josh doesn't want to feel good. He wants to feel evil.
He wants to feel thrill and horror.
I remember watching The Goonies and go, like, that's it?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
All right.
I understand. People have made comparisons to, like, nowadays kids' action movies, like Ready Player One. I've seen it compared to, like, The Goonies and, like, how much action is in each one.
Yeah.
You know, I'd rather watch The Goonies,
yeah,
given the choice.
Yes. It was a different time.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
Steven Spielberg made them both, right?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah? Okay. It's yeah. a different time movies were held
I'm
to
I'm pretty sure the Goonies are in standard. Ready Player One.
No way. In a background. There's like Goonie Max in the background doing like the truffle shuffle or whatever it is.
The truffle shuffle's an emote you can get.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Never have I and never will I. I have no interest in watching that schlockfest.
I've read the book and then watched the movie.
Yeah. I tried to.
And both of them, I'm like,
I tried to listen to the book and was just like, just at the altar of nostalgia. Just yeah. kneeling down in front of it with no regard for context.
Yeah, it is. It's that South Park joke with the member berries.
Mm. Okay.
Where everybody, like,
loves. I haven't seen it yet. Yeah. I haven't got that far. I did get back into South Park for the quarantine and pandemic special.
I haven't watched a lot.
Pretty funny. Pretty funny stuff. It was something to watch during the pandemic.
Sure. So I turned to wrestling.
I wasn't too judgmental or critical. I could have got way more critical. I'm only watching the Criterion Collection.
Nah. Sometimes you just gotta wallow in the slop.
I would not be surprised if this movie gets a Criterion release, or has already had one.
Yeah, does it not?
You know, I'm not one of those nerds. Come on, I don't have a closet that's air-conditioned for Criterion Collection.
I went to film school, and I'm not one of those nerds either.
Because it's so fucking expensive, and you have to wait for the sales, and then you get them, and then they're like, hey, Purple Ray is out now, or RVD.
I'm just gonna stream this stuff.
Yeah. It's always gonna stream at almost as high a quality as physical media.
I'm just gonna stream.
You don't get as high a quality, though. So if you were the real snob, you'd get it.
I've never been a snob.
Quality snob? Yeah.
You know, when you watch a movie once, you don't have to care about it again. Like me.
Just dark. Over on that side of the room. Just like, surrounded by nothing, just in a chair.
I'm trying to think of how many movies I actually own.
Why would I buy that poster? I've already seen it. Just see it in the store. I imagine your room at home is just blank dark walls.
At least with the poster.
No, he's already seen blank dark walls.
Shh. I repaint my room every day.
That chair? Sat in it.
I don't know. Posters respect my time. Movies don't. Very, very few movie experiences I would ever go like, I want to watch that again.
Posters.
Has there been one though?
Respect My Time is a valid poster.
I have not watched something on
for
the
fun
podcast.
For fun.
Yeah.
That you.
You didn't go back to Mean Girls yet?
I have never watched any of the podcasts that I've gone back to of in free will.
But do you think that there is one that you would?
There might be one or two.
Would you watch Rope again?
In like 10 fucking years.
Rope is heavy. I said Mean Girls.
When I've like
That's
forgotten it, then I might
okay.
go back and watch like Mean Girls or Rope or something in a really long time.
One of the big ones.
One of the big ones.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Maybe.
Right. Like,
no.
Why did I
no,
rate
I
that
know,
five
I,
stars but not recommend
I,
it?
I will. No, I'll remember to never watch that again. That's on note.
What about when they remake it in 10 years?
Okay, maybe. That's different.
Two Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
That's the sequel.
Alright, we're gonna get to it. We're gonna watch American Psycho.
No, it's One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
That's a modern naming scheme, alright.
Yep.
Two Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Or just Cuckoos.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, happy for.
Yeah, yeah. 2021, you just name it Nest.
Nest.
And people are like, ooh, that's intriguing. That's an art film.
The nest is worded like an arc.
Whoa.
Like a letters.
Yeah, like a nest that's fallen out of the branch and it's tumbling. Yeah, and all the letters are the baby birds because he's losing his marbles. Why don't we make remakes terribly? Hollywood, give us money, we'll do better than you're doing. We'll be right back.
Hello, everyone. We just got back from watching Ferris Bueller Goes Off.
The working years after he goes to college and gets way more disillusioned to the world, I guess. No, we're back after watching American Psycho. You want to draw some commonalities between Ferris Bueller?
No.
They both talk in the mirror every morning. They have inner dialogue. Mm-hmm. They have like a routine. Ferris Bueller's like soaping up the mohawk in the shower. He's very meticulous. Oh, I think you're onto something
both
here.
Killed someone.
Oh. No, he didn't! Fuck you, not in the movie, Ferris Bueller. I was going along with your bit. I was yes-anding all the way.
Yes-and no. too. Just real life.
Okay. Heavy movie. American Psycho. So, Josh, first impressions.
It's pretty good. Like horror movies, I've seen a pretty good amount of them. This one's up there.
Oh, you like horror movies now, huh?
I've liked horror. What are you talking about?
Yeah. If they have a thriller tinge, she's always on board. Yeah, which
is
cool.
I noticed you like snappy dialogue was one of your...
Yeah, this had a lot of good dialogue. It had good escalation. I could follow his like mental break, you know, as the movie went on.
My goodness. It has such a good build from like seeming kind of like a boring... corporate office.
Well, they get into it pretty quick.
Yes, it's very quick. It's
like he kills somebody pretty
quick. It is a build for sure. Like the tension's always ratcheting up. To at the end, it's just insane proportions.
Oh, yeah, at the beginning, it's implied he's killed someone. You don't see it till later.
Because they have the.
We definitely didn't see his first kill.
It's really kind of Hitchcockian for parts of it.
I bet you his first kill was like a maid or something when he was a teenager.
Oh. Yeah, or unfortunately, a homeless person and their pet. Oh, content warning. There's a terrible amount of awful shit in this episode we're gonna talk about. It's gonna get dark. If you've seen the movie, you know what we're talking about. If you haven't, I don't know. We'll get to it. Patrick Bateman is our lead character.
He is the titular American Psycho.
Yeah, I agree with Josh. I like a snappy dialogue. When you sit down with Patrick at lunch with his friends, and they're just a bunch of yuppie cocaine idiots, and they're like, I don't know, what do you think about going to this place? And wow, we don't have reservations at that place. I want a double scotch. Don't talk to me, waiter. And they're like, I'm like, yes, and I'm just settling in for the ride. I'm like, take me away, obnoxious
you might like
dialogue.
Mad Men, Josh.
Okay.
I've never seen an episode.
I have not seen it.
It's a lot of fast talking.
Yeah, it's a lot of high pants wearing, a little whiskey drinking.
Whiskey
that time?
Drinking, yep.
Okay. You said it gets going pretty quick. What do you mean, Josh?
I mean, they get into the killing pretty quick. You imply the first, and they show the sheet is brought to the laundromat, trying to get it washed with, like, jam, juice, or find out it's clearly blood. But then he just kills a homeless person and his dog, and...
Oh, thank God, I thought I was going to bake.
Almost every scene. You know, every scene where he's alone with somebody, pretty much. They're getting dead.
It's scary, because at first he's like, we get this morning ritual. Every morning, I wake up and I roll out of bed and hit snooze button a couple of times.
Like, he's like super meticulous.
And then my cat comes in and paws at me and it's like, meow, feed me, and I oblige. But then I go back to bed. Get to set the alarm. And then it's time for work. Oh, it's past time for work. So I get into the shower and I apply whatever bottle I find. Sometimes I get lucky. Sometimes it stings my eyes. Then
sip from the shower beer.
I sip from the shower beer and take a hit from the shower bowl. A sip of the shower whiskey. And I go to my corporate job at PP. P and Henderson and Penderson.
Pearson Pierce.
And I make all the money in the world.
He's got a lot of money.
Yeah.
He has multiple apartments. I think.
I think.
I'm not sure.
This is one of my favorite kinds of movies because you are left like, wow, that was something
that might have happened.
But I don't know if it was real or not.
I don't know that I like that in certain movies.
Yeah.
We've watched a couple other movies like that, right?
Total Recall, I would say, mm-hmm. is a big one. Not sure what happens in
future
there.
Episode, The Matrix.
Oh, leading up to Awakens. We've talked about it. We haven't talked about it, though, yet. So, after this morning ritual, we meet him and his friends. Who knows what their names are? They all have this, like, slick back hair. And they're
they
drinking
all have,
at
like,
9 in the
they
morning.
They all have, like, one dominant personality trait. One of them's always doing cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
One of them's constantly talking about where they're going to go eat. That's,
yes.
like, his only dialogue. One of them is into politics.
Right.
And then Patrick Bateman is, like,
the observer.
To be woke.
Oh, my God. Talk about, like, corporate woke, too.
Talks about, like,
he listens to the Joe Rogan podcast.
You know, he's ahead of his time in some way. Like, everybody nowadays knows every serial killer fact there could be because of podcasts and serial killer mm-hmm. dramas. And, you know, we were locked down for a year with nothing but Netflix, and look what it pumped out. I know every detail of Ted Bundy now. But in the fucking 80s, early 90s, if you knew that shit,
research.
You had to either go to the library and ask for specific books or send away. For, like...
Oh, he was talking to them in prison.
Oh, you think he was writing them letters? I don't...
You're
that's
a hero.
The thing. He's not smart.
He's not.
That's part of his personality, is he thinks he's way smarter than he actually is.
He just thinks he's way better
than everybody
else.
He loses control pretty quickly.
Oh, well, there's willpower, kinda. There's intelligence, there's all that.
He doesn't kill the secretary.
He's low on... He's lower than he thinks. He's very boastful. He's like...
No.
We get a lot of inner monologue. He's
I would
like
say that
back.
He knows that it's a facade, though.
He does, but I think he thinks he's better at it than
he definitely
he
thinks he has everybody fooled.
Yes.
Which he does.
My goodness. And isn't that the point of the whole movie, though? Like, everybody's so
he's trying to
and
cry
wrapped
out.
Up in their own things, and he's like, I'm killing people. And they're like, you're so funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
It gets dark so fucking fast, but The Descent is a wild ride, and it's got such a good soundtrack. It
yeah,
starts out this blaring new wave.
Stuff that he does.
No, we're not going to discuss, like...
Content warning,
we're not,
dog death.
We're not a true crime podcast. We're not going to get into, like, whatever.
Yeah, we don't need the specifics. He kills a lot of people.
He kills a lot of people.
And one animal.
There's some really... I'll put quote-unquote fun ones, because they're obviously horror movies.
The chainsaw
ones.
Drop?
Yes, that's the one I get. That's my
360 kickflip chainsaw.
No scope chainsaw, yeah. Exactly.
Trick shot!
Yeah, like, he's literally just holding it off about like
he's
a
like,
solid 20 minutes.
He's doing trajectory,
yeah.
He's like, it's gonna turn this way.
I'm really surprised he didn't do the water bottle flip, throwing it and then have it fall down.
I just thought of Premium Rush. He's like, if I drop it this way, it's like an arrow, and it's like, if I drop it this way,
I made that joke forgetting that that's what happened.
In.
Because it was like, you were like, it's not a fucking gun, whenever he was like aiming it at her from the staircase. Like, oh, he's just going to drop it on her, and then he does.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh.
That is when the movie loses control. Before we get then, before we get there, we meet his girlfriend, his mistress, who's his girlfriend's best, his fiance, I think. Is her best friend.
Yeah, who's,
everyone knows each other.
Who is friends with, like, the biggest... What does he call him? Dickweed?
Yeah.
The biggest dickweed in all of New York.
I love this character actor. So fun to watch. It's a deep cut, but have either of you seen Stephen King's Red Rose Red?
No.
It's like a stylized Winchester mansion made for TV movie that's in like two parts on a DVD somewhere. No. He has an amazing part in that. Look it up. A lot of other stuff. We'll have to look him up here in a second. It's awesome stuff. But, yeah, he's the big dickweed. There's, like, you've listed off all the other friends, their personality, their, like, one trait.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, who am I forgetting? I think that's, like, their whole inner circle, kind of. And that's why they're together, him and his girlfriend. She says this later when he tries to break up with her.
She's like, we are all friend. The same people.
Yeah, your friends are my friends.
Your friends are your friends.
You can have them.
Yeah, he's like, I thought about that. And, well, you can have them.
Take all my friends.
We get a couple of
his great, line, great, I thought about it, and you're just not that important to
the
me.
The lines he gives, and he's been building to this. He says it a couple of times, really aloof at first, and he's like, I have to return some videotapes. And he says it when he's breaking up, he's like, I just have to return some videotapes.
Yeah, that's his excuse to get out of any situation.
It might be true, it might. He might have those videotapes in his car or in a briefcase. He's renting a lot of tapes.
He does rent a lot of tapes.
What's with this? Hey, quiet. I got a phone call. Can you put on my phone call porno? Loud. Loud.
I want everybody to know I'm watching people fuck.
Well, I make reservations and talk to, like, I don't know. He's making some pretty important business calls, it sounded like.
Yeah. And what was the restaurant he kept trying to go to? Dorcia.
Everybody's talking about Dorcia at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, he's like...
He never gets in, right?
No, we never go to Dorcia. He goes to try to get into Dorcia, first. Can't get in, and he just gets laughed off whenever he asks for a reservation.
I love that scene. He's like, two for Dorcia at 8:39 tonight. And you just hear the other end just like, I thought it was Danny DeVito, like, the penguin on the other end of the line.
He just hangs up. And then you find out that his arch nemesis, Paul Allen, played by Jared Leto, can get reservations at Garcia's anytime he wants. He was talking about how he's going to go there on a Friday night.
Alleged adversary, Paul Allen.
Yeah.
I love this. This is one of the scenes Josh knew from the beginning. It's the introduction of Paul Allen. He's like, he wears the same suits as me. He goes to the same barber. And I'm like,
No. That's the guy that Paul Allen confused him for.
Exactly. Everybody's confusing him for everybody. But how do they go to the same barber? It's New York fucking city.
It's a good barber.
Yeah.
People talk.
He's like, I have a
slightly better haircut.
He did. I'm going to give him that. Yeah. Like, Jared Leto's was like,
no, but that's not what he's talking about whenever he's talking about having the same barber.
Really? Who's he talking about?
The dude that Jared Leto has him confused with. He's like, I understand why Jared Leto confuses me with this guy.
I thought they were talking about Jared Leto, but
no,
does he kill this guy too?
No, but it shows him like walk by, and he's like, that's the guy that
that's
he just called
thought,
Marcus. That's who Jared Leto kept calling him was Marcus.
That's what I thought on previous watches, but I thought this time it was Jared Leto. But you're probably right.
I don't think it was.
Okay.
Because he specifically says, I understand why he confuses us. We wear the same suit, type of suits.
It looked like Leto to me was wearing the same suit. Yeah.
We went to the same school.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot to do with like upper.
We work at the same place doing the same job. Uh-huh. And he's like, I understand why. But he's like, but I have a slightly better haircut. That was like.
He has so many like aliases in this movie that every time you hear someone talk about Patrick Bateman, they're like, oh, that fucking nerd. Like, he's such a loser. It's so sad. It's not sad because he's a shithead, like, serial killer.
Yeah.
But he looks at him and he's just like, that's me. But you don't know because I lied to you so much. And he's such a bad liar.
He is very
on the
bad
fly.
Liar. It works. It just proves that you don't need to be a good liar whenever you surround yourself with people who are extremely self-centered and vapid.
Yeah. Yeah. Things start to escalate pretty quickly. This terrible scene with the homeless man where he's like at first offering him help and then he's like, he just tears into him and he's like, you're a lazy fuck who, it's like, dude, that's fucking unfair. What are you doing? And then
it's just prelude to killing him.
He gets all just like bolster and like hyping himself up. Yeah. He has a knife in a briefcase? Is this like something he stole from a museum? A magical artifact or something?
Right, he stole it. Yeah.
He uses a different weapon every time, which is pretty neat.
Yeah, for like a slasher movie, for
sure.
He
tries to change up the MO, maybe?
I've used that one already. I can't use it again to call back to the opening of this.
Are you alluding that Josh is a serial killer?
No, just similar tendencies. Josh with his walls, this guy with his weapons. Different Yeah. Different. Totally different. Josh, what are you doing?
Josh just goes...
No, it's okay.
Have you heard about this new K-pop band? It's wonderful.
Josh just goes into really in-depth synopsis of animes that you haven't heard of as he kills you.
Naruto is about a bunch of children who put their arms behind him and go, Naruto!
He gives like the history of
I am the ninja.
He gives the history of the animation studio that made like... The anime that he's talking
well,
about.
I'm talking about some K-pop band at the same time.
What we're referring to is in the movie, we start getting to these scenes. The first one, most, like, the, one of the biggest scenes from the movie, he gets Jared Leto really drunk at a Tex-Mex restaurant where no one's at.
No one.
And gets him loaded, takes him back to his apartment, and is like, hey, sit in my chair that I have a bunch of newspaper around on the floor.
And covered with tarp.
And I'm going to put on this record.
And a raincoat.
And start talking about it. Kind of like if you did text-to-speech on the Wikipedia page for Huey Lewis in the News. Add some dance moves. Puts on a raincoat.
Pulls a really shiny axe.
The shiniest! Yeah. Hey, brand new, right?
Yeah, brand new axe.
New axe every time?
He doesn't use an axe again.
No.
He's used an axe already.
Oh, okay.
Always.
I've seen axes at the store, though. Is there a rich person hardware store that none of us go to?
Of course there is.
You're right. We have the shiniest
tools.
You gotta
get a designer.
Tools,
he commissioned the axe.
He commissioned it, yes! It has to be gleaming. You want like a chrome finish on that, sir? I can polish it up real good. How shiny you want it?
He like picks it up and tries the dance moves at the hardware store.
Yeah. Never seen a man cut down a tree like that. He really was just playing on the speed in like the sound system
what
at the hardware
he's
store.
Listening
he's like,
to the, all
that's
the
a good idea.
Just music, because he is probably actually a big music fan.
He does like music.
I think if you remade it today, it would definitely be self-help gurus. CD or
something. Oh yeah, he's
like
listening
tracks.
To You Are Worthy. You were like
that, but also like the really alpha male shit.
Oh yeah.
Like the guys who look at, down at the camera through their chin and they're like an alpha male never refuses. Alpha male never says sorry. And then you can't say no, you know, all that bullshit that shows up like between videos on YouTube sometimes and you're like, why? Just because I watched one workout video, go away.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you want to find out how to get women, keep women, and make them love you as much as you love them?
I figured out
skip
this.
Skip that. Like, how did you fit that much toxicity into 1 5 seconds before I can, like, skip the video?
I figured out this simple phrase that you can use on women to hardwire their brains to want to fuck you.
I've tried everything until I went to Thailand and tried bull's testicles. Now I've distilled that into a simple serum that will get you jacked. You get any of these, Josh?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
We don't want to hear what type of ads.
I have ad blocker, so I don't.
Oh, okay.
I have ad blocker on some platforms, like my PC, but I don't think my phone has an ad blocker on what I'm using, so they still pop up when I'm like, casting videos to TV sometimes.
He always does this when he kills people. He starts talking about music. Kills, like, what, 4 people this way?
And he's like an anti-hipster. He's such a yuppie. He's like, their early stuff was shit, but no one was into them. But as soon as they sold out and got really big, that's when they hit mainstream, and I could really identify with the message that they were sending.
Yeah, what was the music that he liked?
It had to be Huey Lewis.
Yeah.
Phil Collins,
that's his fucking music.
Oh, yeah. But he does the same thing when he's fucking. Like,
he does.
He puts on a record and... Oh my god.
No, there, I mean, there's a direct correlation between sex.
So awkward when he invites the sex workers to his apartment. And... he's just talking at them about
while he's directing his porn. Oh, like in between those shots.
And what is this? This is like, what's it trying to say? That he was like, okay, people fuck. So I'm gonna rent a video of people fucking and watch it just passively all the time. It's gonna be on phone calls, breakfasts, crunches.
He's like, I gotta know how to fuck, and then have video evidence showing that I know how to fuck. That's,
I want to be normal.
Is he returning those tapes to the video store?
Oh, he's swapping them out? Yeah. He's doing the old switcheroo where he's, like, keeping the ones he rents and returning the ones with him. Kissing his bicep in the fucking mirror. Oh my
god, his poor...
The camera was on him 100% of the time, just focused on me.
This is, part of inspiration for Dennis's character, I think. Always Sunny. At least this one specific part.
Well, always filming. There's a lot. For sure. It's so gross, because they... Well, I mean, this part's fine. Well, sex work positive.
Almost.
I'm saying up till now. Then it cuts to nighttime and they're all sleeping in the same bed and I'm like...
Well, we're like, no fucking way.
There's no way he would let them stay over.
But then we know why. Because he wants to torture them.
He's got like...
It's what, a mutilating hour.
Exactly! It's 2 a.m. Oh! He lets them live.
And then she gets back in his limo.
Later, I cannot...
Her son...
Well...
I had to go to the hospital and have to get surgery.
Because she needs money for surgery now.
She's obviously desperate.
Yeah.
Oh my god, when she... It's
killed.
That's one of the scariest scenes when it shows how manipulative he is. That he's like, oh, here's a check, here's money, here's what I owe you, and she gets out and you're like, wipe your brow. And then he rolls down the window and whistles and has a huge wad, like $10,000, $12,000. She get back in and it's like, oh my god, no.
Half now, half later.
He's like, she's nothing like suffers, last
she's
time.
She's the one who suffers the chainsaw dropping on her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When it goes full horror at this point, you're like...
I don't know that I was expecting it to go this horror.
Where there's like 10
running bodies. Naked a hall covered in blood. Screaming. With a chainsaw. Like very, and
this is
very really shining.
Earlier. So this kind of leads to the theory that he did none of this, right? Because he's doing crunches in the morning, and there's, like, a woman screaming on film, and we're like, what sort of maniac is this?
And he's watching Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
And I'm like, oh, I'm kind of that sort of maniac. I'm definitely guilty of doing this.
Does the book
working
like
out and
detail?
Putting on horror movies. I haven't read it.
Okay.
It'd be worth a
I
read.
I kind of want to read it.
It does
yeah.
go into more details. I hear it's gory.
I mean, about the ending, not so much the kill.
I
like, do we find
it
out?
It has to have a different ending. That's
Josh
how I make
needs
book
to know
movies,
more about
right?
the gore.
No, I just want to know more about that.
It's probably like a 7-hour audiobook, not too bad.
Yeah.
Could listen to it at work. I'll get back to you on that, maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll fill you in on
let me know if it's
gore in our Patreon episode.
He wants to dig deep into them guts.
Yeah, FabCheck Plus, you can hear about the book.
I don't edit episodes often, but you're cutting it close, mister.
Don't make me care about this.
We don't even have sponsorship. That's a on a personal level. You keep that to yourself. No. Inappropriate jail over there.
I was kind of waiting this whole movie for him to pull out the gun. Like, I mentioned...
He did.
He's like, if he pulls out the gun, we're go full nuts. And he does!
So wait, let's talk about the full horror scene before we get to that. He brings
he has
back
a
the sex
murder house.
And he has several
bodies in
this super point. Murder house. Holy shit.
Bodies in
every closet.
And she's like, hey, this place is a lot nicer than your other apartment. And he's like, no, it's not. Because
this is the guy
that
he killed.
This is the guy that he killed. Jared Leto, I believe.
Yeah.
Because it overlooks the park.
He took his keys. They said that.
Going back to that place, man. He
several times.
To get caught.
For months, probably.
Well, yeah, he says at the end, like...
Yeah.
Well, I've been waiting for my punishment, and it just never...
Yeah, because he wants to be acknowledged, probably.
He wants to write a book and then a movie. But things get crazy. It is a horror scene, because he's under the blankets, and the sex worker's trying to sneak away, and he just, like, you hear, like...
They don't show what happens, yeah.
But, like, it's more scary, I think, because it's just, like, it or something where blood starts
soaking. Do you think he had a
knife,
or was he...
He was just straight up biting
her.
I think he was
heart.
Bite. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
he tries biting on her leg when she falls in the shop.
Yeah.
In the bathroom, too.
Yeah. He admits later he's tried their brains. He's gone full
cooking
cannibal.
Some other things.
Mm-hmm. Some other things.
That's what he said.
It's dicks. He's talking about dicks.
He mostly killed women, though.
Jared Leto. He's cooking that sausage. That's what my guess is. she, this is where it goes full horror, because she runs out of the bedroom screaming. He starts chasing her, covered in blood, with a fucking chainsaw. She goes into several rooms in this apartment and is, like, slipping in blood. There's so many corpses. There's, like, hanging corpses in the coat rack. There's some in the bathroom. Like, nobody used the bathroom before they got it on? I find that hard to believe. There's probably multiple bathrooms in this luxury high-rise apartment. He's like, don't go in that one.
Don't only this bathroom.
It's bloody disgusting. Oh, Patrick, have you spent time across the pond?
Yeah.
But this is what mimics the Texas Chainsaw scene. She's running from Leatherface, screaming, covered in blood, naked. And he's running with a chainsaw, spinning it.
Butt cheeks clapping.
Oh, we get some full Patrick Bateman butt cheek. This is where he snipes her.
With the chainsaw.
Just
360 no-scope.
A little ridiculous, but...
This is like... Too cool, he's like me in FPSs.
Mm-hmm. Justin and I tried to play Fallout... Or Far Cry 5 one time. And in that game, you can use, like, weapons and shovels. And all he did was murder innocent people and sex workers and then get a job on Wall Street.
That's all I did.
Yeah.
This entire game.
No. Go ahead.
I think what happened is there was like a tutorial of how to use the gun, and I fully emptied the clip shooting around the target.
What happened before once, that?
And then I used the shovel.
Yeah.
And hit him and killed him with a shovel headshot.
You worked three dudes with a shovel. Yeah. It was like bonk, stab, throw, impale, and then pulled out your pistol, and they're like, bam, 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 like a rainbow around him, didn't come near him.
It was the opposite direction, like you said.
And the game was just
the shovel,
like...
and I was like, decapitate, stab, throw through the head, and then there was one more, I pulled the gun, I was like, boom, 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 boom.
Like, the scene is fucking Dumb and Dumber. Yeah, and the game's like, maybe this isn't for you. Here's Mario Kart. I don't know. It gave you some suggestions.
Oh, man.
Have you tried VR? I hear the controls are pretty easy in that. Oh, yeah, it's going full fantasy, full horror at this point. I mean, fantasy by being Patrick Bateman's possible fantasy. He is on the street trying to withdraw money from the ATM, and he picks up a fucking kitty. And the ATM, we see the readout, it says, like, feed me the kitty.
Feed me a stray cat, yeah.
And he's like, I don't know how.
And he pulls out a gun.
And he's like, do I shoot it first? And then an old lady comes up, and she's like,
don't shoot that cat!
That's not how ATMs work. And he shoots her instead. Luckily, lets the cat go.
I'm sorry. It's just a weird phrasing.
I know. Do you know how many people get more upset about pet death than people death? Yeah. Like, that is...
It's a little disturbing.
That's a thing. Yeah. Yeah.
But also, I get it.
Human rights over animal rights, but also animal rights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's just something... Like, I think it's just because you see it less often.
Well...
In films.
It's like
stuff.
Babies, too, for a lot of people. They're like, my fur babies, or whatever.
Yeah.
I do know that we watched Hocus Pocus last year, during the time that Walker went missing for those 3 days during the full moon on Friday the 13th. He's our black cat.
Yeah.
And when that kitty got run over in Hocus Pocus, I was just like, hey, my kitty's okay.
Yeah.
So I get it. I get it. You love your fur babies.
Mm-hmm.
He like you said, Josh, explain this. He pulls out a gun.
He just pulls it, like, we haven't seen the gun at this point. He just whips out a gun, his coat.
He's rich.
Shoots the old lady.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just starts killing the, walks into an apartment and just kills the receptionist. He's like,
hello, Mr. Smith.
Dead.
This dude walks, knows him. He's like, hello, not Mr. Bateman, but some alias you've given me.
Yeah.
Walks down the hallway,
the night,
out of the building.
Mr. Smith, and kills him. Goes down the hallway.
The janitor steps out.
Kills.
He goes back into the building to kill the janitor.
Yeah, no, he like stays in the room. Like, he goes around like
the
circular.
What do you call those?
The room, whatever.
No, the roundabout's around the street.
Might be a roundabout.
Rotating doors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, there's
revolving
a
door.
Revolving door. Yeah, yeah. You can tell how big the city we live in is. Yeah, and I was like, why is he staying in it? Because he like grabs it and spins back around. I'm like, is he
stuck?
Shoot
the janitor.
To shoot the janitor. And then he goes in the next apartment building.
Doesn't kill that guy.
Because the guy didn't recognize him. He didn't say that he recognized him.
I don't know if that's why or not. He writes something down. Oh, it's where he works. He definitely recognized him, he just didn't say anything because he's like, and like,
wait, did he kill
him.
The cops first? And then he kills the cops first.
You're right, between all
he gets chased by some cops,
this scene is insane.
He kills cops.
Blows up a cop car.
They pull
he
up.
He blows up a cop car and he looks at his gun and he's like, I didn't know the gun. Am I God?
He shoots three times in the middle of the street, takes out a cop, takes cover, and it's like, okay, he might get away if he runs. Steps back into the middle of the street and is like, blam! And two cop cars explode.
One shot, two cop cars.
And he looks at the gun and is just like, and Josh is like, no, this is over the top. And the look he gave is just like, this is over the top. What the fuck is happening? Like, am I a god? Do I have that? Do I have rocket bullets? Did I unlock something? Runs into the building, goes up to
his... Calls his lawyer.
Yeah, he goes up to his office and this is when he leaves... a message for his lawyer that's like...
He admits everything.
Yeah, in a real hysterical...
He says he kills 20 to 40 people.
Yeah, Josh is like, I like that he's being precise. He's like, I killed 20 to 40 people in the next second.
He's been doing it the whole movie, right? Of course he is.
I gotta say, guys, it's good being back in person watching these.
Yeah.
Seeing what everybody notices.
Definitely more energy.
More energy. Online had its benefits,
for sure.
We're back together. Stay healthy. Get back together.
Get that shot.
Yeah. And avoid yuppies.
Die, yuppie scum.
He has that spray paint in his kill house.
Who escapes? Does anybody escape Patrick Bateman?
His secretary.
Oh, and that... And the gay dude?
In the bathroom?
I believe he does. Yeah. Thank God. They're my two favorite characters. And he goes on a date with his, he goes on kind of an awkward date.
He doesn't kill his wife. Or
fiance.
Wife,
he doesn't kill his fiance.
Right, that's true, yeah.
With his secretary, he's like, what are you doing tonight? She's like, nothing. He's like, what a coincidence. Me neither. Just like, lounging back all like, you want to go out to dinner? She's... like, yeah, I want to go to that one place you can't get into.
She fucking knew what she was doing. That's his secretary.
And she... God love her. She's put up with so much.
Yeah.
He's terrible to her. He's a sexist pig. He's like, why don't you come in with something like a dress or a skirt and heels?
That was earlier in the movie.
Real early on. She's so timid and she's just trying to survive in the... Of course. Yeah. Of course. It's the 80s and he has all the power and money.
I'm not disparaging her. I'm just saying.
Yeah. But even in this scene where he's asking her out to dinner, he's like, you look nice. Hey, why don't you go home and change first?
Yeah, go in a change first.
And you can see just crushed. The outfit she's wearing has to be $1,200.
Do you think he bought it for her?
No.
Like you're wearing this?
No. No,
you don't think that's a
the dress tonight, maybe, but the outfit she's wearing to work.
Oh no, that's what I meant—the dress that she's wearing to the date.
I don't think so.
That seems like a very Patrick Bateman move.
I don't think he's that considerate. He's an asshole though. Like he was
put on the rope, but not that one.
Yeah, exactly. He's not buying people jewelry or dresses or gifts to manipulate them.
Yeah,
he doesn't have to. He has it so easy that he's never. Honed or crafted.
He can kill people
he's
and
just
not
a
get
maniac.
In trouble.
He's wild. He's a wild card who's like exceptionally rich.
From doing what, by the way?
He's the vice president.
Of what?
The company.
They trade on Wall Street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He never works the entire movie.
Oh no. He's listening to like Phil Collins reading like porno mags. And he's on the phone, and sometimes he's faking phone calls. Let's get to William Dafoe really quick.
Yeah.
Ooh.
The detective.
Why is he in this movie? Because that doesn't go anywhere.
He seems to be, like, the one person who knows... who at first seems to, like, know what's happening. Do you think he knows what's happening? Is he killed in this cover-up?
I think
he says too many things to not know.
I agree that would be a better ending if Patrick Bateman thought he got away with everything. It goes on, and then William Dafoe's waiting for him at home
he walks
in the dark, and he's just like, I know about everything. Blam! Yeah. And then takes his persona. Like, he's up with his feet on the desk at work the next day, and he's like, hey, Jenny, come in here. Book us lunch at, wherever.
Sargento's.
Wherever the really
expensive. Barracuda's.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So many fancy meals in this. It's like your other pick. The restaurateur one.
Oh, Paul LeBron.
The HBO documentary.
Super Size Me?
We have not done that
yet. I've seen Super Size Me, actually.
Oh, fuck. What have I summoned?
Well, Super Size Me.
I haven't seen that.
That's okay.
Yeah, he gets
away with everything. I wanted a final showdown with William Dafoe because of how intelligent
I think
and
that
like
they wanted,
cunning they make him out to be.
I think that they wanted to leave that so that it could be more open-ended.
Mm.
Because as it stands,
William Dafoe's like,
you
can probably
either, went you can either argue.
Oh, you're right, because his lawyer was like, I saw him embarrassed.
You can either argue that he hasn't actually done this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That it's like,
right,
you've been seeing him play out his fantasies and stuff that he hasn't actually done.
Yeah.
Or there's some massive cover up going on.
And I wouldn't even say it's a massive, like, organized cover up. I would say it's massive,
right,
because
it's
they're
like,
so rich that they, like,
why is that guy saying that he's had lunch with him twice?
I think he was mistaken. I don't think people know who each other are.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't recognize his own client. He thinks he's some other dude.
That's what I'm saying. That could also play into him hallucinating.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Yeah. So he gets 5 stars in GTA. He, like, leaves the confession. The helicopters seem to be after him. And yeah, the next day...
He just passes out of his office, right?
I think so, because the next day he calls his secretary and he's, like, losing it. And he's like, I can't make it in today. And she goes into his office and she finds all these terrible drawings of what he's been doing and, like, fantasizing about. And she's like, he has not taken any notes for months. He has no appointments. How does he have so much money?
Yeah, yeah.
And,
she's like, do I do his entire job?
Yes. Yes. That is the case. At the same point, he goes to the bar to meet his friends, and his lawyer's there, and he meets with him, and he's like, you left that message? That was the funniest fucking thing I've ever heard. The only problem, you said Bateman did it, and Bateman's a total dork. He's a loser. And Patrick Bateman, who he's talking to, he's mistaking him for somebody else, is just like, oh my God, this is never going to end. I could do anything I wanted, and these people won't react. Or it's all a fantasy. Yeah, it's kind of open-ended, because he sits down with his friends. One of them is like, has the huge, chunky cell phone, and is like, can I get in this place?
Looking for food.
Can I get in this place? Can I get a reservation?
Yeah.
And the other one's watching Reagan on the television and
talking
like,
about what a snake he is.
And I was like, whoa, this dude's definitely a Republican and he's calling out Reagan.
Woo!
Good. And Bateman just like sits back and laughs. Oh, we have that one other scene where he's at the bar that's pretty good. Or the club? I don't know what these lounge? These are such rich people places.
Yeah.
I have no fucking idea. But he's like, you know what Ted Bundy said, or Ed Gein, or something, and that's when we brought up in the 80s or 90s, like early 90s.
Oh, yeah, they were talking about women and how this is whatever, you made a funny joke when we were watching, where he's like, the only women that are talented, whatever that looks like. Are ugly women, is what they say. And you're just like, yeah, you guys don't know what talent looks like, that's for sure.
Because none of them have an ounce of it. They've been handed everything on a silver spoon. They're like, you know, talent. Yeah, like, it's an ephemeral concept. Which it is from Patrick Bateman's sketches. But he's like, they're all making fun, like, really misogynist fun of women.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, you know what the serial killer said? I see a woman and I'd either like to sleep with her or see what her head looks like on a stick. And they're
and
just like,
he just laughs and they're just kind of like,
the dead. And it's like, oh my god, his true personality is seeping through way harder into his life. People are starting to take notice, but
this is where he goes to try to kill the, because the
redhead dude,
the
right?
Redhead dude,
yeah.
Comes out and shows that he got an even better card.
Oh my god,
Paul Allen's.
It is nice. It has the gold and the green embossed.
And,
oh,
he immediately goes to try to kill him in the bathroom.
I like this dude because he always recognizes what sort of suits and fashion he has on.
Yeah,
and immediately he like grabs the gloves and he's like, "Oh, Armani, that's fancy."
Yeah, and kisses his hand.
Yeah,
and Patrick Bateman just like so shocked. And, like, disgusted looking, which is
you're ruining the
unfortunate. Mood. He's just like, you ruined the murder!
My murder boner just went down. But my other boner went up. And this dude's so fun. He's like, I wanted you. Look how fucking hot you are. This is everything he wants to hear.
Uh-huh.
But it's not who he wants to hear.
Yeah.
It's not because... Because
it's not accepted by society.
Exactly.
And
he wants to fit in and be normal and be the ideal alpha male. And this gets away. It saves him. His flirting in the restroom. Take note. I mean, if somebody grabs you around the neck in the restroom, ideal outcome is they then leave you alone, right?
Sure.
Best situation. Or they get arrested for fucking assault. Patrick Bateman does not. He goes about his business. After going full murder spree, blowing up cop cars, hiding in his office, he goes back, and I love this scene. It's really interesting. Regardless of which way you take the movie, he goes back to the murder apartment to clean up. And he's got, like, the face mask on, but a nice fucking suit. Like, you gotta clean up in that? What are you gonna do? Obviously, he knows what he's doing because he's been hiding bodies for months, 20 to 40 people. He goes in there.
I think all of them were in his apartment, though.
He said he has a couple dissolving in a bathtub in Hell's Kitchen.
Paul Allen.
Yeah, which who knows? But he goes in here and the walls are freshly painted and there's new flooring and new ceiling. And
they're showing it off.
Uh-huh, it's for sale. The realtor's there. And he opens the closet where all the bodies were hanging. It's just cleaning supplies now.
Fresh paint and stuff.
And the realtor's like, oh, are you my 2 p.m.? And he's like, no. And she's like, then who the fuck are you? This is a $25 million condo.
She's like, well, did you see the ad in the Times? And he's like,
no.
Yes.
There was no ad in the Times.
Yeah.
And she knows if it's true.
I don't think that she did. I think that she sussed out that he wasn't
supposed to
be here.
If you're a realtor... You know the shit that happened in the house before you're trying to sell it because you helped cover it up.
I don't know. My watching this time, I'm leaning towards the camp that he eliminated most of this.
I think she has so much money on the line for this condo.
I get you.
That they swept it under the rug.
I get you.
Every scene at this point is like, wait, is he actually...
Exactly.
Did he actually do
it? You can read it both ways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The creepier way is that she wants to make a shitload of money.
So she covered it up
Well, the apartment building, the condo, whatever.
Yeah,
covered
they didn't
it
care
up.
Who did it. They just were like, oh, boy.
Get it out of here.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Because she's, like, really, really scary in this part. And she scares him. She's like, don't you fucking come back. And he's like, oh, don't worry, man. I won't. I'm sorry. And that's pretty much...
If he stayed there any longer, she's going to ask to speak to his manager.
Ooh. Or a deposit. This apartment is now in escrow.
Yeah.
In your name, sir. Wow. It is... That is
no, that's not how it ends. He goes and confesses, and then...
Oh, to the lawyer.
And then, he's just like, oh, you're so funny, but Patrick Bateman's a loser.
Yeah.
And
he goes back to chilling with his oblivious friends,
yes.
The four of them. He has a scene where he breaks up with his girlfriend.
And then
it ends with him having another monologue, okay, and he just realizes that basically, I don't know, is it him coming to terms with, like, even though he's a serial killer, what he does is inconsequential?
he's reaching existentialism. You know, doesn't ever happen with real serial killers. They don't be like, hey, I should stop.
Yeah.
And hey, you know what? I look deep in the 80s. I was that kid in the 90s. I was that kid in the library, early 90s, who was like, oh, what's the scariest shit I can find?
Mm-hmm.
And getting in too deep over my head. Because nobody cares what books you read when you're a kid. They care what movies you watch. They care what music you listen to.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're like, I'm reading a book that's this thick, they're like, good for you, reading above your pay grade, kid, in school.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, yeah, I learned a lot from it. Just that 1,000-yard stare in third grade when you read your first Stephen King novel. And you're like, I didn't understand a lot.
But I understood
that I'm terrified now of a lot more than I was before. Did you know balloons could be scary? That's a new concept when you're a kid. What'd you think, Josh?
I liked it.
Yeah?
I don't know if I'd recommend it.
Well, it's that time.
We are to that time of the episode.
If you like horror, because this is definitely up there. But
did you watch the one that Courtney brought over?
Which one?
Behind the Mask? The Rise of Vern?
Ricky Bobby?
No.
Did you watch Ricky Bobby?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I was there for that one.
Which one did you think was better?
What? Was that? How's that a fucking question?
They're both serial killers.
Yeah, but one is a joke movie.
You don't think this is?
One's like a parody.
This
no.
is a dark comedy
this
horror?
This is like a serious introspect, like, you know, is...
I'd say this is slightly in the realm of comedy.
Okay, the chainsaw drop. Okay,
fine. Black comedy, because of how absurd it is.
Yeah, it's a black comedy.
The chainsaw drop puts it into comedy. Like, the rest of it...
Which style, I'm asking,
and
do you like?
Dancing.
I guess.
And, like,
it was over the top, for sure. Antique of modern society.
Yeah, this is way better than that other piece of shit. Like, I'll remember this in...
That's what
like,
I wanted.
Yeah. That was nothing. That was just a fucking movie exploring all the stupid tropes of horror at the time.
Okay.
This is like... I haven't seen anything like this, and I've seen a decent amount of horror movies.
That was a hidden gem. This one's pretty well known. I agree this one's better.
Yeah.
The dialogue is amazing. I loved it. But it's not my turn. Continue. Yeah.
I think I would only recommend... Like horror movies. This is a very interesting horror. It does some interesting things.
You like horror movies.
You follow the character.
You said in the beginning you like thriller, so would you recommend it? Liking horror and thriller movies?
No, because the recommends are for like any, right? I don't want to recommend this to just anyone.
Okay.
If you like horror and thrillers, yes.
Okay.
This movie. But like other is, you know, no, there's, you're not gonna get out of this.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't a life changing movie.
No.
Of course. But it's fun. It's fun, right?
This was, it was a fun ride. I'll give you that. That's a good way to put it. A lot of it wasn't fun. A lot of it can be.
Well, yeah, and that's like, yeah, I fucking love me some murder.
I know,
oh,
I know.
Boy.
Of course, a lot of it's like, holy
woo,
shit.
Puppy stuff.
Wish it. What did you say? Do I have to censor this episode twice? Because three times, and you have to edit it, sir. You're just like, hello, I'm Justin. Welcome back to Have You Seen? Can you edit everything we say out? Like our Aziz episodes. Shout out to Aziz.
Yeah.
Sorry for losing your episode on D&D. We'll have to do it again
someday.
We'll
do Mazes and Monsters to make it up to you.
Or the sequel to... The movie we watched, Dungeons and Dragons.
Or watch the new one when it comes
Dungeons
out.
And Dragons 2. Yeah, sure, the new one.
It's called Dungeons.
I don't know what it's fucking called, but you remember the dude with the worm in his head?
Yeah.
It's his story, like 100 years later. It's still D&D, but I've heard it's way better. The story.
Does it have Jeremy Irons?
Huh?
Does it have Jeremy Irons?
No! Thank God! And it doesn't have a bunch of CGI fucking dragons either. Like, wow. Justin, would you recommend this movie?
Yes, but with a content warning, like we said.
Oh, yeah.
It is very graphic, and there are some problematic
Well, he is a terrible problematic person, yeah, and is portraying that.
For sure.
In a graphic manner.
It just comes with a warning.
Of course. You said you've seen this before. Probably several times.
I've watched this several
times.
What's
your, like, first, you remember your first experience with it, or is one that sticks
teenager
out?
Teenager, for sure. Probably, like, 18 or so.
Okay.
We
haven't announced the year for this one.
Is it 92, 93?
I feel like early 90s. I'll look it up when I post the episode, and yeah, there we go. But yeah, teenager. Did you see it in theaters, or was this a rent?
No, I didn't see it in theaters. Watched it probably with, like, some friends, other film people.
This was definitely one of those early, or late teens, early 20 movies where you were like, you have to see this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean you in specific. I just mean, like, your group of friends.
Yeah,
everybody
for sure
has those. You have. It's so fucked up. It'll blow your mind. You have to see this movie. And I feel like we've avoided some of those, but we've definitely had some of those on the podcast.
Yeah.
But
overall, I would say yes.
Yeah.
I would recommend this movie. I had fun watching it. I've watched it several times, and I like it. Obviously, Patrick Bateman is not a hero.
No, not even an anti-hero.
Not even an anti-hero, but I'm sure that there's some sick, twisted people out there that are like, oh yeah, Patrick Bateman is like the picture of masculinity and what you should strive to
do. You're talking about those people who post memes that are like him sitting there leaning back and being like, I'm a wolf, I'm smarter than all the sheep.
Yeah.
That kind
people
of quote.
Who like,
yeah.
Scarface.
Yeah. Boondock Saints.
Yeah.
We're once again getting into college boys poster territory. Yeah. All movies that we haven't covered.
It is very much in that ilk, I think.
Because it has a toxic male.
This is a movie about toxic masculinity, kind of.
Oh, yeah. And 100%
classism.
Like white privilege,
sure.
Male privilege, all that, yeah. And I love how he plays on that too, just like corporations. Like, he's like, we should cut the anti-Semitism out of this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And he's always the one who has the upper hand of wokeness in conversations, because he's like, oh, I keep it PC. But then he slips, like, and lets his true feelings show later in the, when he, or in the movie,
yeah,
when he's talking to, like,
about the woman.
Oh, no, when he's talking to Will, about, oh, yes, all that. But when he's talking to William Dafoe.
Oh, that's just because he got caught in a lie.
I think that's a little of his true feelings showing
but
as
he
well.
He also seemed to really like Huey Lewis.
Yeah.
I
sure.
think that he just got caught.
You don't think he has hidden prejudices that aren't at the surface?
Sure. But I think that
either
one,
way,
he just got caught.
Yeah.
He's a terrible liar.
Well,
not even really caught in a lie, but just like, why is this guy bringing up Huey Lewis? Does he know?
Baffled.
Like, he was shocked.
Yeah, he was shook.
He was shook. That's
yeah.
the term. Yes.
There you go. Love me a shook serial killer scene with a cool detective when the detective's
like, it doesn't come to anything.
I think that's to lead to the what happened aspect.
I guess it's just to make you think, like,
so
wait, did it happen? We haven't seen him.
I feel like if you got this on DVD, it'd be like alternate both endings.
I think
the Patrick is guilty ending and the Patrick is not guilty ending.
I think Willem Dafoe technically, like, thinks that he says that ultimately Paul Allen.
That's
it,
later when they
really
go to lunch.
Wounded.
I feel like Patrick Bateman is a complete suspect up till then.
Yeah.
Because he knows that they went
and
out
it's just
because
that
together.
One guy was like, oh, I had dinner with him, or I had lunch with him.
Mm-hmm.
But then he even said that they had that, but then he checked it, and that it was false, and he misidentified him. But then later on, they're still like, no, I had lunch with him.
Do you think this is 100% a case? Like, if you're going to remake this movie, do it from Defoe's character's perspective. He's building this case, and he's like, my intuition tells me it's this fucking Bateman guy, but I got no evidence, because none of these rich fucks know who each other are.
Yeah.
And so he's got, like, all these red, like, cord
he's
traces.
He's like, listen, I asked 17 different people in this boardroom at, like, a lineup. Which one's Patrick Bateman? They all picked different people.
They work with him. They're all his direct bosses. Yeah, he's got the push pins and red cord and, like, pictures at home. It's ruining his relationship. And he's just like, I know this fucker's guilty, but I can't pin him down for the life of me. I'm gonna take him out to lunch. Honey, you missed our son's soccer game again. I'm hunting a serial killer. I have heard nothing about a serial killer on the news. It may not be real. I don't know. None of these rich fucks know who each other is. So, that's a recommend.
Yeah.
But with a caveat.
A content warning.
Yeah. Same. Definitely, if you like slasher movies, horror movies, critiques of American capitalism from, like, the 80s onward, like, yuppies, just the vapid materialism and disconnected, it's got such good scenes of, like, new wave dance clubs. It's, like, Basic Instinct in that regard, or Black Rain. It's, like, so atmospheric. It's really well shot. The dialogue is snappy and amazing. Yeah. So I recommend it, but also with a content warning, it's really fucked up. It's a horror movie.
Mm-hmm. He does fucked up things.
Yeah. Not a hero by any means. And I wish William Dafoe would have caught him if he did these things. What if he didn't do any of them? He's still not a hero.
No,
he's pretty restrained.
I think he's psychotic. Like, he doesn't know he's not doing them at that point. He's like, can I act anyway? Can I fly? But not really fly, but think I flew?
The movie ends with him just, like, jumping out of
the same as Birdman. He just, and, like, his fucking daughter's watching him from behind. And she's like, someday I'm gonna be Cruella. The other movie on our list tonight, speaking of Birdman and this dude, Batman 89, I had Godfather 2 on my list. I took it off once we went back in person. If I roll that one, I'll let you know ahead of time.
I got two movies left, right? We've only done Breakdown.
We've each done one now. We've done Breakdown from Justin, so hopefully we release these in order. We've done Cars 3 from Josh. Thanks a ton.
The other ones on my list are better.
Yours wasn't about cars. What the fuck?
There was a car or two. Wasn't there?
Yeah, there was limos.
Yeah. When he pulls up to that fucking industrial district in a limo, red flags. Like, he might as well have been flying red flags on the back of his limo. Goddamn. Yeah, he's terrifying. As a slasher, I think he's one of the scarier slashers. He can't invade your dreams like Freddy, but he's not just a lake monster. Like, well, we haven't got to that one yet.
Every slasher movie we see, I just keep going to Halloween and wondering why you like.
Was this better than Halloween?
Yes, absolutely.
Was this better than Halloween?
We actually learn about the killer. He's not just some dude.
I still like Halloween more than this
movie. You like Halloween more than this movie?
Yes.
You're standing by it? Mm-hmm. God, that almost prompts me to do another rewatch of it to try and, like, dig in and find out more.
No,
just me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Let's just watch another slasher movie that's better than American Psycho.
Okay.
I love American Psycho, too.
So you can say no to.
I love American Psycho, too, but Halloween.
I'm curious now, because
what's a better slasher movie than
Halloween? Yeah, this is like pinnacle slasher almost for me. What's a better one for you than this?
Than this?
Than American Psycho. What's a better?
No, than Halloween.
Yeah, I mean, what's higher on the list than Halloween? Do you think Scream?
No.
Scream was better than Halloween for me, because Scream had the snappy dialogue, and
Scream was good too.
We got resolution at the end, and it was just fun. It was a 90s time capsule.
What did I like better
but
than
late
Halloween?
90s, this was early 90s.
What did I like better than Halloween?
Slashers.
If you like something better than Halloween, you gotta put it on the list.
Slasher.
Yeah. Is Halloween your top
peak slasher movie?
Peak slasher movie. Sometimes somebody's peaks are other people's valleys.
I'm trying to think.
I mean, we've done a couple. We named them Behind the Mask.
We haven't done Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but I really like Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
I feel like we should do the original.
But that's what I mean, the original.
What about Nothing But Trouble?
It's a really fucked up movie, but I've always liked Last House on the Left.
The remake or the original?
The original.
I've never seen the original. I've only seen that late 2000s. It's really fucked up. I know. Just like this one.
Yeah.
But I think that one... This one has such a off-the-wall, absurd feel to it that it's...
That Last House on the Left
For me, it's like, hard to take seriously, and it doesn't... It's like not... It doesn't hit that emotionally. Like, I know everybody else is going to take it differently. Like, be more upset. Last House on the Left...
It's too real.
It leaves you coming away, like, dirty.
It's too real.
Yeah.
No.
Even the remake. I saw it in theaters, and I was like... Eh.
Yeah.
I wish somebody would have warned me.
You have to take a shower after that movie.
A couple of them. So that one above Halloween?
Might be.
What about The Hills Have Eyes?
Nah.
No? Okay.
That one's probably lower.
What about the new Hills Have Eyes?
That's probably one of the lower ones. Oh, the original, I haven't seen the original in a long time.
The new Hills Have Eyes, the first one I thought was pretty fun, but I've only seen it once. Oh, if you'd like to listen to any of the other episodes that we've mentioned tonight, slasher or non, something a little more lighthearted, I think we've earned our E rating for explicit on
You're welcome.
Podcast app tonight. Maybe it stands for everyone. Josh, would you like to tell us where to go? Tell us.
Everyone? Yeah. FabCheck, YouTube, FabCheck, Facebook, FabCheck, anywhere else you listen to podcasts, you can find us.
FabCheck@gmail.com if you want to write us.
We're trending in Send Argentina, I heard.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh, mine podcast. Hey, I'll go to Argentina for a tour. I'll do it. Looking at those global analytics. Cool.
I got an email. Probably someone just trying to sell me something.
Yeah.
And that was where we ranked the highest.
Nice.
We were like 142nd in TV and film.
No fucking way.
Someone said.
140 people above us?
Sounds like spooky.
No fucking way. Like, I'm ranked in games and there's sometimes 3,000 people above me. Like, that sounds way too good.
In Argentina.
I'm still saying. We don't speak.
I know.
The language.
I know.
I'm not saying they don't speak our language. We don't speak the language.
That's what I'm saying. It makes
like, good on them for being multilingual. Yeah. Oh, is this like a mystery? Like, we go down there for a podcast fest and we're featured guests.
Yeah.
And they have like limos waiting for us.
It's a horror movie about like.
Podcasters?
Podcasters getting lured to a film festival.
Podcaster like Island. A satanic ritual.
Podcaster Island in Argentina.
They're trying to sacrifice, like, who can we get to sacrifice that nobody will miss? I know.
No. Podcasters. No. The algorithm fucks up, and it shows them we have the most views. And so, like, if they sacrifice us, it'll be the most power because we have the most influence. Mm. But we have none. Like, the algorithm flips. We're at the bottom of the charts.
They click that little arrow.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize
it. And they're
it.
Like, have you seen? Book them tickets. Yes.
And then it's just a remake of Scooby-Doo Zombie Island.
Ah. Not a fan of jungle horror movies, personally.
Really good soundtrack.
This movie, too. Tonight.
This movie had a soundtrack?
They had a really good soundtrack. Oh, yeah. If you like New Wave.
Oh, we didn't list all the songs that he listened. All the songs.
Phil Collins.
Huey Lewis, Phil Collins, Whitney Houston.
Uh-huh. Then they got laughed at for liking Whitney Houston. They're like, you own multiple? And he's like, I own everything.
That's
when
he decided she was going to die.
The Columbia House has ever put out.
He does.
And
for
I've
sure.
never paid for a single one because of all my aliases. I get 12 free CDs to start for a penny. And then I never reply, but I've done it 17
you
times
should
for
check
the people
out my
I
free
killed.
Magazine subscription collection.
What were you saying, Josh?
Oh, I don't remember.
Okay.
Anyways.
We have two other podcasts.
Yeah. We do. We have Amazeballs, which we talk about TV shows. We have You Seen, as Justin just mentioned.
Yeah.
We have...
What About Wrestling?
What About It?
Well, it's a little bit on hiatus right now.
There's always backlog episodes you can check out.
Yeah.
And it's not like you have to listen to it when the event happens, because I've been a guest and you all go into history, detailed history of wrestling.
Bit, yeah, for sure. Nick's, I'm in wrestling new. Well, we have a weird dynamic because I definitely watch more wrestling currently than Nick does.
Okay.
But Nick has been watching for 10 plus years.
He's the historian.
I just started watching this last year.
Gotcha.
But he doesn't watch as much currently as I do.
Sure. Been a guest on it, like I said, a lot of fun.
But
what's that?
I'm falling off of some of it just because it's real bad, guys.
Oh, no!
Like, Raw right yeah. now. Raw, Monday Night Raw. It's bad. It's just boring as hell.
How is wrestling boring?
It's so boring.
That doesn't seem possible. There's fireworks and music and burly people covered in oil.
Yeah, it's not good. SmackDown's good, NXT's good, AEW's fantastic.
These are all the different branches of wrestling you can watch?
So NXT and SmackDown are both owned by WWE. It's just different nights of the week.
Oh.
They have Monday Night Raw, they have Tuesday Night NXT, and then they have Friday Night SmackDown.
Well, speaking of that, and have you seen